I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go out to our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline as we welcome back for another season on Ben and Woods. Great Eno Saris from The Athletic is with us. A 97.3 The Fan. Happy baseball season. Not the happiest of starts for us here in San Diego, Eno, but we're still glad that baseball is back.
Yeah, it was a tough first game, I guess.
It's the air spiraling out of the balloon is the tweet that I sent last night. Just that's exactly how it felt watching, you know, CJ Cron drive in a week's worth of runs, you know, against your vaunted pitching staff. But hey, it is what it is. 161 to go. Before we get into some baseball stuff, I'm looking at something on your Twitter. Did you get a beer and a sandwich? We have a beer, Tier 1 Pale Ale. We've sent you some before. I know you enjoyed it. Did you get a beer and a sandwich named after you, Eno?
Yes.
Dude.
We had quite the event last night at Other Half Brewing where they debuted a sandwich called the Knuckleball. That I worked on for, developed for about a year.
A year?
Yes, we were just emailing each other back and forth about sandwiches for a year.
What is on the knuckleball? Not any actual knuckle, I hope.
It is.
It is. Really? There's knuckle. Yeah. A knuckle sandwich, if you will.
We've cut it. We've cooked it down almost like an oxtail where it's off the bone.
Okay.
And then put it into a cutlet and put some matbucha sauce on it, which is like a tangy Israeli tomato sauce. It was so good.
With watercress and arugula, mustard, vinaigrette, shallots, and pickled onions.
I can see that.
It looks really good. If you follow
Eno, he's famous for rating his sandwiches as well.
When he makes his sandwiches at home, I'm like, you are the worst. Your ham sandwich with American cheese on it, like, you know, he goes very, very big. And the beer looks really good, too. What was that?
A hazy pale ale called Staring Into the Shift. The label's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. It was a great beer. We kicked it, and now there's just a few cans floating around in a couple cities.
How many did you have yesterday? Because I probably matched you.
No comment.
Well, man, it was good to turn on. Is that you? That's all right. It was good to turn on the television, of course, while we were waiting for our delayed start and watch some baseball. Tuned in. The game that was on yesterday, Matty V was calling it Yankees, Gerrit Cole against, who the hell were they playing?
Giants.
The Giants, that's right. Logan Webb and Gerrit Cole. How many combined strikeouts between the two teams? It was like 30 yesterday.
22 between the two starters,
It was incredible, but is that what they were looking for when they made all these rule changes? You know, or are those just two really good pitchers?
I mean, they're definitely looking for more balls in play. And I guess we saw some scores on opening day that suggested maybe the offensive environment is going to be higher this year. But, you know, directly attacking what happens at the plate with strikeouts, they didn't really do anything about that.
Correct.
And, I mean, they did say that they were going to maybe do more sticky stuff enforcement, but the real pressure is velo. I mean, I know Logan Webb didn't demonstrate that, but Gerrit Cole was pumping 98 and just had that gas. And when somebody throws that hard, you have to start so early. You have to start your swing so early. That's what makes you look so stupid on the breaking balls, you know? So, you know, it really does come down to Belo, and I don't know what you can do about it.
I do think, though, that the rules made a difference, even on the first game. And while the Padres game was definitely not the shortest game of the day, it featured 27 strikeouts between the two teams. But just the fact that they moved faster, it was kind of a slog of a game, 7-2, base runners, you know, but it didn't take that much time. It was under 3 hours. They still played it in, despite deep counts, a lot of pitches, a lot of strikeouts, and it still finished in 2 hours and 56 minutes. And I don't mind a strikeout if the pitchers are getting the ball and throwing the ball, and then you move on to the next one. It's those strikeouts that, you know, take 4 minutes for the batter and then take forever for the next batter that I think that some of these new rules, you know, really do actually address.
Yeah, I mean, there's disagreement about whether or not we actually want shorter games. People like baseball, like, do they want it to be shorter? But the stuff that we're cutting out was not, I don't think, compelling. Sometimes it can be compelling. The Robert Suarez at bat against Bryce Harper, that was super compelling, and it took really long. But the average strikeout is not that one. You know, the average plate appearance is not that one. And so I think we're taking away a lot of just standing around looking at each other.
Yeah, in the WBC, of course, the Shohei Ohtani Mike Trout matchup was the best, some of the best theater that you'll ever see in the game of baseball. And you know, that was every one of those was a violation. I think they said somebody yeah. actually blocked and said every one of these would have been a violation. But yeah, you can't take away that drama. Now, they did not make any tweaks to it, right? This is going to be.
Rob Manfred said they did.
No, but
the tweaks were just about when to start the clock, and it was about more about enforcement. It was more about it codifying some things about, like, you know, if the batter has a big swing or something, you can give him a second. You know, like, it was more about how the clock starts.
Do you think, though, by the time we all play, you know, watch 162 games of our home team and God only knows of how many other games we watch that are, you know, all day baseball sitting around the house, you know. Do you think by the time we get to the playoffs, that moment that many people are tweeting about, the man, you know, we really need to just start this in the seventh where the moment gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you think that will be, we'll kind of forget about it by then, we'll be so used to it?
You mean just the clock in general?
No, no. Used to this clock? We'll be used to the clock, but many, you know, a lot of people, pundits are saying, you know, and people saying, man, I want those big moments in the playoffs, and, you know, a guy steps out and adjusts, and they're not going to do that, and that's going to be a bummer. Do you think we'll even notice, though, when the playoffs get here?
Yeah, I think we might. There are people who just sort of swoop in and only watch the playoffs.
That's true. That is
so
true.
We're going to have some people who are like, what's this clock thing?
You know? That is true.
And I think there's at least a friendly ear around baseball to, like, should we turn this off in the playoffs?
Yes.
It might be interesting to see what our first playoffs are like, and if after those first playoffs they turn the clock off in the playoffs. So.
I think it was Max Scherzer who had an interesting thought that was worthy of discussion. He said, maybe we don't need it at all, unless games are starting to slow down, and then the umpire can say, like a golfer in a slow group gets put on the clock, hey, you guys are taking too much time. We're now turning on the pitch clock. But if pitchers are moving and, you know, in general, pitching, you know, ready, playing ready baseball, essentially, do we actually need that clock every single game?
No, we need the clock. he's a pitcher trying to sell you on a bridge in Manhattan. This is, you know, this is, of course, the pitchers are going to take as long as they're allowed to take. That's what they've proven to us over the last few years. So they need the clock.
Well, the one thing, we're talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. The one thing that was up yesterday, stolen bases. You see that? 21 bags yesterday. The 30 teams last time combined for just 6 steals in their first games last year. So the bigger bases, the pickoff rule, that's fun. I like seeing steals. Stealing bags is fun. It's exciting. It makes you excited as a fan, unless it's happening to you over and over. But I think it's pretty cool, and that's a pretty good number on day one.
Yeah, I think that is a fun part of the game, and I think it shows that some teams are being even more aggressive than others on the base paths. And I like that because it's a different way to win at baseball. I like baseball best when there are different ways to win. I don't like it when it's everyone is like, okay, we just need OBP and slugging. We just need these big dudes that are going to take a bunch of swings. You know, like, I like that there's different ideas for building teams and winning baseball.
Smart Baseball segment with Eno Saris here on 97.3 The Fan. And Eno, you came out with your Stuff Plus rankings this week at The Athletic, if anyone wants to check that out. You've explained Stuff Plus to us before, but, you know, a velocity movement on pitches from starters. The Padres aren't the stuffiest of teams.
The plussiest.
They've obviously got some good arms, but is that a concern that the Padres aren't necessarily near the top of your rankings? I think Yu Darvish had the best Stuff Plus, followed by Blake Snell, and then Joe Musgrove is a little bit down the list.
Yeah, it is interesting. We used Stuff Plus to make projections, and those projections had park factors and other factors in them. In fact, some on the field results. And when I summed up the Padres starting rotation, they had the lowest projected ERA. So I don't know if that's partially the park effect or what's going on there, but it did sum up to great effect. And I think one of the reasons is that the back end has improved. So I know, Snell went out there and, you know, he did a little bit of the Snell thing where he was out early after a lot of pitches. But he was good when he was in. And I think that the back end is going to come and meet that. I think Seth Lugo is a good starting pitcher. I think Adrian Morahan can do two or three innings at a time and be good. I think that Nick Martinez is a good back end guy. So I think they've really improved their back end. And, you know, it's one of those things with the Padres where they don't maybe have that Gerrit Cole, but they have a good pitcher they're going to put out there every night. So I think that's why you can sort of take away, okay, well, game one didn't work, but our game two start is pretty good too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it is weird to start the season with your back end, and that's just unfortunately the cards that they were dealt with Yu Darvish and the WBC, you know, fiasco, I guess, for him. He wanted to throw more, and Bob wanted him to throw more. And then, of course, Joe Darvish and the kettlebell on the toe, and here we are. And I think I was a little tough on Blake Snell this morning. I was a little hungover, and I was just bummed. I need to do, and I was really, I've been in his camp since he got here. I really like the dude. I do.
Well, you weren't alone. There were some boos.
Yeah, there were some boos yesterday. He has the ability to pitch out of jam sometimes.
Manny told us to, though.
Yeah, Manny did tell us to boo. He did. He said he likes it. But yeah, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch, and I legitimately thought pitch clock will help him get the ball fire. He doesn't like it. He said he doesn't like it, so maybe.
It's just, you know, it's just the command that sometimes goes, and, you know, he's a good pitcher, but I think two sort of mistakes or the two worst takeaways from the game. One is, that there were a couple relievers out there that gave up a bunch of runs that you would have thought could be part of a win, you know?
Yes.
You kind of have your winning bullpen and your losing bullpen. And I don't know if they just put out the ones that they're going to put out in losses or if they thought those guys were going to be better. So that was a little bit concerning because you want to have some depth. At least you have guys like Snell that aren't going to go long. You have to have somebody who's ready to step in for innings, you know. And then the other one was the Soto defense. I don't like to put too much on one play, but for him, he's the favorite for the NL MVP, Juan Soto. And he's favored by odds, favored by projections. But part of that projection is that his defense returns to normal. He was probably his worst self defensive-wise last year. And that's why just one ball like that goes, oh, no. Are you going to be like, is this going to be a whole thing in left field this year? Or are you going to be, you know, a good defender? And I think that it's going to mean a little bit. I don't know if it means everything, but it's one thing that I was like, uh-oh, you know, what if that part doesn't come back?
Yeah, I think we all were. And then, you know, I started thinking, I watched David Dahl later go for a ball down the right field line and just couldn't get his footing, didn't get a great read on it as well. It was a crappy night out at Petco, you know, first of all. We were all there.
Wet?
Yeah, it was so wet. I mean, and it poured rain when they started the game as well. They had to bring out the rakes and everything else. So, I saw it on Twitter. It made sense to me. Somebody goes, hey, man, you know, look, I'm actually fine with Soto not barreling on a wet field to catch a pop fly. And I went, okay, fine. Make that same play tomorrow.
Rather have him for 162.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Especially with a dinged up oblique. Didn't look particularly comfortable at the plate. either yesterday. So listen, one game we flush it, we'll be fine. But it was just kind of a crap. It was kind of a crap night all around. We've all been so excited to see this lineup go out there and do it. And Xander, hey man, Xander made a really nice introduction and welcome to San Diego. He was great.
Yeah, it's an amazing team to have $300 million guys out there.
It sure is. and you get like four hits.
You know,
yeah, right.
You know, I don't know how much you caught of Shohei Ohtani's start. He was already number five in your Stuff Plus rankings. I know some people were saying it looks like his pitching, maybe velocity and movement even ticking up a bit from last year. You know, putting him maybe in a contention for a Cy Young Award as well as an MVP and everything else that he does already. Did you see much of that last night?
Yeah, he looks great. And all through the WBC, he's been looking great. I know he's been working hard at adding some movement to that sinker. His fastball isn't great by movement, but he throws it by contrast, so it's still a pretty good pitch. And so if he's adding movement to that sinker, that'll help him as he loses velo over his career. But, yeah, this year I think if he wins the Cy, and he seems like he might be a favorite, I think Gerrit Cole is going to be great too. But if he wins the Cy, then he has to win the MVP, right? Like
100%.
You've got a Cy Young winner.
He should always be the MVP. It should always be him. As long as he does both to even an average level, he should be the MVP. There's no one more valuable than that guy. No one. He saves you an entire roster spot. The value that the projections for him are insane. I saw a pitch yesterday, I wanted to ask you about. Now, it was a ball. It was down and away. Hunter Green for the Reds threw a pitch 105.3 miles an hour. Is that right?
Wow.
Did you see that?
No, I did not see that. 105.3.
Down and away. I mean, but it looked like a missile. 105.3 miles
an hour. I thought I saw it in spring training.
Maybe 103.5, but it was one of the two. I think it was 105.3.
No, I saw 105.3, but they also were questioning maybe there was a glitch because the spin rate was wrong or something on the gun on that one. How often does that happen?
He's got a big arm, though.
In terms of mistakes that are made on some of those readings of velocity.
We started using spring training data for the first time in Stuff Plus, and I realized that there's more errors than we know that we think of, because in spring training they didn't wash or like clean up the data as much as they do for regular games. And so I saw the difference between the unwashed data, which is they kind of go in and find all the mistakes, and there's ways to compute what that spin rate would have been, or, like they kind of clean up the data. And I saw from spring training how dirty that data can be. So, yeah, I would say it happens a handful of times per game that something's just mistracked. They clean that up after the game. So, yeah, it may not have been a right read. But if anybody could throw 105.3, it is Hunter Green.
Amazing, man.
We look forward to your regular Thursday appearances throughout the season. Appreciate you holding for a Friday since we had all of our opening day festivities, but we'll slot you in. We have our golf tournament next week, which could be a little weird as well, but eventually we will definitely get you on the Thursday rotation, and looking forward to it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Congrats on the knuckle sandwich, by the way.
Yeah, that's great.
Eno Saris with us, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.